lesson last week called Balance in the Christian Life. I'm doing a few messages which I'm just going to simply call the Christian Life. And we're going to be doing some messages on them to help us in different areas. Last week we dealt with balance. Let me just re-stress to you that is very, very important. Balance in the Christian life is very important. It's very important in relationships, keeping balance correct. It's in our work for the Lord, keeping balance. Keep everything in balance. You know, we mentioned, I think, last week, we can even go over head over heels on sometime, maybe put too much time in a certain position or something in the church. But we can also do the other. We cannot do enough. So what I'm saying is we keep it balanced, and that's the secret to the Christian life, I believe. And we do that even with friends. We've got to make sure our friends are the right kind of people. Let me just share with you a truth. A true friend will help you be a better Christian. That's just a simple statement. But a true friend will help you be better for God. That's a true friend. Whenever you have a friend, and we're not talking about, you know, treating people wrong, putting them off and saying, I don't want anything to do with you. I'm talking about the people who we spend time with. We need to understand something. A true friend that we spend time with will help us grow in our Christian life, will help us be better for God. Someone who's not doing that is not a friend. Okay? They're not a friend. Now, you may have to still deal with them, you may have to still have a relationship with them and all that, but be careful the time you spend with them. Because the tendency is, we always say we'll pull people up. Very seldom is that ever, ever true. Most of the time, when we spend time with the wrong people, they pull us down. I've seen it over and over and over and over. Okay, so again, I'm not trying to tell you who to spend time with. What I'm trying to say is look at it, balance it out. Are these people the kind of people that will help me be better for God? Amen. Encourage me to help, to grow in the Lord, you see, and vice versa also. So what we need to do is, and we'll just finish it up here on the balance, but find in the Word of God the truths of God's Word. Search the Word of God out. See what God says about a matter. See what He says about husband and wife relationships. See what He says about friend relationships, those we spend time with. See what a true friend is. Look at those things. See what your relationship with God should be. See what your relationship with the church should be. And balance it. Okay? And let me give you one more. You'll never, ever, ever go through life without having to continue to balance. It is not a one-time thing. It is something you have to adjust for the rest of your Christian life. Okay? You just have to look at things and you don't just all at once get everything balanced and then you're done. Because it doesn't work that way. We always constantly have to balance. So balance your Christian life. Then also, what we're going to do today is I'm going to try to help us on temptation. Where the source of it is. Some of the things it is. Where it comes from. And you say, Brother Ross, I'm a certain amount of age. And I want to tell you something. There's not one person in this room that does not have temptations. Not one person. That is part of life. Now, we may have different types of temptation. But every one of us is tempted. And we need to know how to deal with them. We need to know, first of all, where is the source of temptation? Most people would say Satan, and that is true. But that is not the only source, according to the Bible. There's other sources of temptation that we need to be looking out for. And it's for sure. And what I'm going to do is give you some scripture. When I give you the source, I'll give you the scripture. We probably won't look every one of them up, but I will read them to you. Okay? But you certainly can write them down. Temptation, like I say, is something each and every one of us will face. Satan certainly is one of the great sources of temptation. Let me read you a scripture in Matthew, the 4th chapter. Then was Jesus, this is the first verse, Matthew 4:1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now immediately we know that if Satan tempted Jesus, he's going to tempt us. These temptations are going to come. He always, if you search the scriptures, you see him tempting, of course, the Lord. You see him tempted Peter. You see in the scripture, he tempted Job, and throughout you find Satan is there ready to tempt. So what we've got to understand is, every Christian who is trying to live a Christian life and do good for God, Satan is going to try to bring him down. Satan doesn't want you to live for God. Now, you just mark that down. You get it down in your heart. Satan will do anything he can to bring you down to a lesser testimony. He can't get your soul if you're God's child. You know that. But he can sure get your testimony. And he can sure defeat you. And in defeating you, many others are defeated. Those around you, your family, friends, people you work with, you see. So what I'm saying is, watch out for him. He's always there to tempt. Another source is our flesh. Now I'm going to read you a verse of scripture. That is in Matthew 26:41. Matthew 26:41, and here's what it says. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. God says we've got to watch and pray. Why? Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he says that you pray that you enter not into temptation. Well, that means that there's going to be temptation there, and we should not enter into it. And he's saying to us another truth. You've got to remember something. Your flesh, my flesh, is weak. Now, there's not a person here can stand up and say, my flesh is strong. Because the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says our spirit is willing. We have a desire. We want to do right. We want to do these things. But that flesh is weak. We need God's help. So the flesh is something that is going to tempt you. Correct? That's a source of temptation. So watch it. You've heard your preacher say so many times, when you get up in the morning, look in that mirror, there's your worst enemy. You better believe it. You better mark it down. Amen? That old flesh will tempt us. Then also the wrong crowd. We talked about that earlier in the balance. We talked about friends. But listen to what it says in Proverbs 1:10. Proverbs 1:10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. So is sinners going to entice you? Sure. See, the wrong crowd. You get around the wrong crowd. There're going to be some temptations there. They're going to entice you. And I realize, you know, some of you, we've grown a little bit here, but and teenagers and younger people have a real battle with that, because peer pressure means so much to them. What their peers think of them means so much. Now, that doesn't mean it doesn't happen to us too. But I'm just simply saying we've got to watch out, because sinners are going to entice thee. Okay? So there's another source. The wrong crowd. Again, that's why we teach our young people. We try to teach our adults the same way. Be careful who you fellowship with, who you spend time with. Let it be people who are helping you to be better for God than you've ever been. Amen? But there's a surprising source here of temptation that may surprise you, but let me say to you, Christian friends. Now let me read to you a verse of scripture, and here's what it was happening between the Lord Jesus and Peter. Now Peter was a saved man, but here's what he said in Matthew 16:22-23. Here's what he said. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. And what God is saying to us, even Christian friends, do not always want to do what is right in God's sight. The carnal Christian does not want to see you grow and show him up. You understand? And then Jesus turned around and looked at Peter. Get thee behind me, Satan. Can you imagine that? Well, what he was saying was Satan was using Peter. He was using him. So again, I'm saying to you, be careful of the Christian friends. I'm not saying walk around thinking, oh boy, that guy, I have to watch him. Brother, I got to watch you. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're saying be careful Watch out, look out. And make sure that the friends, the Christian friends, are helping you go in the right direction, helping you grow, and not turning you away from God. Okay? There's many things. Now folks, you're wise enough. You people are not young. I mean, you're young, but I mean, you know, you're not old, but you're young, something. But you're old enough to know these things. You know when people say things to you and act around you, that it's whether it's right or wrong. And I'm talking about around Christians. You know, but when someone comes to you with some big old juicy tale, do you think God sent that? You understand what I'm saying? See, you've got to be careful. And in so doing, you can even help that person. You would say to them, you know, I don't believe this would be godly for us to be talking about this. You're helping them. You understand? See, I'm saying you just got to be careful. Temptations come because if you don't be careful, you'll get involved with that very thing that they're doing. You'll get involved with it. You see, you'll become a part of that. And you don't want to be a part of that. Amen? No, you don't want to be a part of that. So again, be careful, you see, because the sources of temptation are there, and it's not just always the devil. I'm sure he instigates a lot of things, but it's not always the devil. There's old flesh. Amen? Well, I'm going to tell you, there's all kinds of things there. So I'm just saying to you, look out for what's coming towards you for concerning temptation. Okay? Now, what are some of the reasons? I'm going to give you approximately, I think, three reasons why. What is the reason for being tempted? Does God allow it? Yes, he does. What is the reasons for that? Why are we tempted? First of all, to develop patience. Now, I'm going to read you a verse of Scripture. That's what God says in his word. The verse of Scripture is in James, the first chapter, the second and third verse. And listen to what he says. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Okay, that can also speak of trials. Temptation sometimes are trials. But God says they work patience. Folks, every one of us in this room needs patience. Yes, we do. Every one of us. Amen. I can look back on my life, and I'm going to tell you, I don't mean I've arrived. I've got so far to go. But I want to tell you, I have a lot more patience than I used to have. You know why? Through trials, temptations of life, God works patience in our life. Amen? So it's not a bad thing. These trials and temptations are not bad. They have a purpose. They only become bad when we yield to them. Amen? Okay? Now, not only that, God uses temptations to reveal our heart. See, every man thinks he knows his heart. Every person thinks, I know me. No way. We think we do, but we really don't know us. So God reveals, through temptations, reveals what's really in here. Okay? Let me give you a verse of Scripture. Genesis 22:12. And here's what he says. And of course, this was Abraham here and Isaac. And he says, and he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Now God told Abraham to take his son upon the mountain and to prepare him for an offering, put him on the altar and prepare him for an offering. Okay? He got him to the place where the knife was lifted, ready to slay him. Okay? I seen a thing from a Jewish perspective one day, and he says that rather than probably to hold the knife like this over him, what they probably did, he said they would grab the head or the hair and the head and put the knife up here like they would a sheep or an animal that they was getting ready to sacrifice, and they would slice his throat. And they think probably that's the way Abraham had Isaac when he was ready, with a knife here, ready to slice his throat. That's just from the Jewish perspective, what they said. But anyway, he was ready to sacrifice him when God called. And God says, I now know, I know. Amen. Now listen to me. Don't you think God knew all the time what he would do? What really was revealed, not so much that he revealed it to God, God already knew, but he revealed it to Abraham, what was in his heart. Abraham came to the place where he was ready to do that because God told him to. Amen. So a lot of things I believe that God allows us to be tempted sometimes to just, or is just simply to reveal what's in your heart. Amen. Have you ever been there? And have you been surprised sometimes that you yielded so easy? Aren't we a mess? Amen. And sometimes we yield so easy. Well, God's saying, see what's there in your heart? See what's there? Needs to be taken care of. Needs to be helped. Amen. So God does that to reveal to us what's really in us. Okay? Not only that, I believe he allows us to be tempted for the purpose of glorifying God. Let me read you a verse of scripture in Job 1:12. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. You see, Job brought honor and glory to the Lord. And when we do not yield to temptations, that brings honor and glory not to us, but to God. Because we've allowed the strength of God to help us. There's not a person in this room that would not yield to temptation unless God helped you. It's God that receives the glory. He's the one that helped you. He's the one to give you strength. Amen. So God does that also to bring honor and glory to himself. So those are just some of the reasons. I'm sure there's many more, but there's some of the reasons why temptation. Why does God allow temptation? For those reasons. Not only that, there's some things that Satan uses. I guess you would, if we would want to call it that, we could call it the bait that Satan uses. And he does use bait. Over in Job, the second chapter, ninth verse, it says, then said his wife unto him, does thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. First of all, physical suffering, if we don't be careful, physical suffering can bait us into temptation doing wrong. We get tired. You get tired of pain. And finally, Job's wife said, just curse God and die. She's sick and tired of seeing him suffer. I think there's a deep story there, but regardless, it really, really bothered her after a bit. Said, just curse God and die. Be careful, folks. Be very careful when you feel bad for a long period of time that you don't get sick spiritually also. If you cannot, if you could not come to church, do something. Listen to tapes. See to it that you're fed spiritually. Because let me just share this. You already know this. You're faithful people. You already know it. But people who do not come to church and do not hear the word of God preached absolutely go backwards in their Christian life. They don't even realize it. Will not recognize it. They will not say it's true. But they are going backwards, slipping backwards and backwards and backwards. And sometimes they'll use the excuse of illness to stay home. I say to you, of all, come to the house of God whenever possible to come. There is times when folks cannot come, and if they did, they'd probably start a plague in the church. You know, they'd spread stuff in the church, you know. But I'm saying, you know, don't stay out of church just because you feel a little bad all the time and stay away. You're destroying your spiritual life, you see. Get, if it is, you have to stay home, get tapes, do something. But to read your Bible and love the Lord, talk to him and pray to him and stay close to God. Because physical illnesses will do that to you. I mean, I put it this way, it can if you don't guard against it, okay? Then also, another one is that old Satan uses as bait is poverty. Poverty? Yeah, that's what the scripture says. I'm going to read to you from Proverbs, the 30th chapter, the 8th and 9th verse. Proverbs, 30th chapter, 8th and 9th verse, and listen very closely. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, Who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Solomon here was very wise. He said, God, I don't want to just live in constant poverty because it might be that I might go out and steal. We're going to look at the other side of that because it's very, very important. God also knows that prosperity also can destroy you, tempt you. So that's why, and in fact, that's why here Solomon said, I don't want riches and I don't want poverty because they're both dangerous. Either one can cause me to turn from the Lord. I might go out and do something wrong if I'm in poverty. I might steal. He's not saying it's right to do that. He's saying you might. The temptation might be there. And then on riches, he talks about there, and he says, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say. In other words, if I be full and I've got everything I want, I might deny the Lord. I might not trust God. I might not be dependent upon God. So don't be discouraged, folks, when you're not rich. God probably more than likely, honestly, keeps us in that situation where we're not too rich to keep us close to Him, dependent on Him. Because a lot of times when we get all we want, we get big bank accounts or something that we can go and take care of anytime we want to, our dependency is not upon Him. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. Because we get dependent on us. Mm-hmm. That's why God keeps us within poverty and riches. Some people can handle riches, but most people can't. Some people can handle poverty, but a lot of people can't. So God gives us those things that are necessities of life. Amen. We're doing all right, aren't we? God took care of you today? Yeah. You see, you pray today and you say, Lord, I don't know where this is going to come from, but I sure need your help. And God provides it for you. And you say, thank you, Lord. And amen. Thank you, Lord, for helping me take care of it. You understand? You see, there's a temptation there. Another just goes kind of along with prosperity, but another one is success. Over in Daniel, the 4th chapter, the 30th verse, Daniel 4:30, listen to what he said. It said, the king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? And of course, you know who that was. That was Nebuchadnezzar standing out speaking and bragging upon his power and his greatness. In other words, success. He was successful. Well, it's dangerous. You see, because we get to look around and saying, look what I've done. Look what I've done. No way. No way. Except God do it for us, we wouldn't get anything done. We don't ever forget, because there's a danger, a temptation there to look around and see what you've done in life and attribute that to yourself. Nothing wrong with being thankful for what God allowed you to do in life, what God has given you in life. Thank God for that. But be careful, it don't ever come from a proud heart. You see, that's what happened with Nebuchadnezzar. Another thing is a bait on temptations is pleasure. Pleasure. Let me read you a verse of Scripture. 2 Timothy 4:10. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatia. Do you notice the Bible says that Demas, having loved this present world. Folks, I don't know if I can stress it enough. We have to watch it myself. I don't know if I can stress it enough. But we can just fall in love with this world and the things of this world. They become more important to us than anything else. And that's exactly what happened to Demas. Demas, having loved this present world, he walked away from Paul in his last days, walked away from him because he loved this present world. I've taught it, and I believe that it's certainly an indication is there. I think it says a lot of things when he says he loved this present world. But I think one of the things that Demas was fearful of, that he was going to get killed along with Paul. Paul was about ready to die. And he loved this present world. And I think he loved the things of the world. A little bit of tired of sacrificing. A little bit of tired of walking around with Paul and just having to get the needs of their life met. He loved this present world. Listen to me, folks. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to get too dependent and too loving of the things of the world, because that's a temptation that'll draw you away from God. Okay? Preachers, being honest with you this morning, I'm trying to help you. Not condemning you. I'm trying to help you. Please, please, please keep your affections where they belong. Keep them with the Lord. Now, Demas, he chose to leave the ministry so that he could some way partake of and go back to those worldly possessions and spend his time in the world. He basically left the ministry. Well, you got to be careful. Got to be careful. Amen. That's a bait. All right. Another thing is, give you the last one, is immorality. I want to read to you out of Nehemiah. I want to read to you something that was. Said of Solomon. It's in the book of Nehemiah, the 13th chapter, 26th verse. Listen to what he said about Solomon. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him, who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. And now listen to this, because God puts in a nevertheless. That nevertheless goes because of what he just said. Nevertheless, he says, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. Watch it. Watch it. God says, be careful. There's immorality waiting, lurking around the corner. There's outlandish women ready to help you do that. Watch it. Temptation. Amen. We could read the book of Proverbs and look in chapter 5, chapter 7, and even some chapter 6 and all of that, and find over and over the warning of God through those chapters is, watch out for immorality in your life. Amen. Watch out, for the temptations are there. Okay? Don't get hooked up with it. It'll bring you down. It'll tear you apart. Amen. So that's some of the bait that old Satan uses on temptations. I'm sure I haven't covered all of them, but we covered a few. Now, how do we overcome temptation? What do we do? How do we overcome it? Let's look in the scripture over Matthew, the fourth chapter, and let's turn over to that. Fourth chapter of Matthew. And I want to read verse 4. Of course, this was the temptation. They call it the temptation of Christ. Okay? Verse 4. But he answered, let me read verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Look at verse 7. He says, and Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse number 10, then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And once again, if you notice, what Jesus did was use the word of God. I can just say to you, the word of God is that which will help protect you. I think it was Chuck last evening. We ate dinner together last evening, and you was talking about this man who supposedly claimed to be a Christian and all of this. And when you began to talk about drinking, he saw nothing wrong with drinking whatsoever. He thought Chuck was a little bit, off, because he said drinking was not right according to the Scripture. And the reason this man thought drinking was right, because he didn't know the Bible. You don't know what the Word of God said in the book of Proverbs about drinking, about what drunkenness does. He didn't know that. You see, ignorance of the Word of God will cause you to believe things are all right when they're not. Okay? There's a lot of things that are not right. And the Word of God reveals that to us. So I'm just encouraging what you're doing now. You know, you're coming to Sunday school, coming to church, and coming tonight, and you read your Bibles, and you do the things that are right and proper, and you learn the Bible, you learn about it, and you learn what is right and what is wrong, and that's right. See, it's right to do that, you see. So use let the Word of God be a strength unto you. Not only that, again, it's prayer. It's a great help to not yielding to temptation. You get down on your knees before you go to work or before you start your day, and you ask God for help and the strength to help you that day. There's a principle, too, and I'm not going to go into it lengthy, but we will sometime. But there's a principle there. Folks, you and I can go to God over and over, and we can say, God, I'm not going to do this anymore. Let me almost tell you something. 4 days out or 4 weeks out, you're back doing it. You know why? Because you're saying, I'm not going to do it anymore. The principle is, it's God that's going to have to do it in us. It's God's help. You can't do it. I can't do it. But God can. And you've got to get back to that principle, crying out to God, saying, God, no, I can't do it. I want to do it, but I can't do it, God. You do it in me. You help me. I'm not talking about this thing, well, if God wants to change me, he'll just have to change me. I'm talking about yielding to God, admitting to God your weakness, and saying, God, I need you. See, that's where it comes. Pray in that way, beseeching God to help you. Because every one of you has experienced. You've went to God and you said, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do that. 4 weeks out, you're right back to where you was. I mean, I'm not going to ask for testimony. I can just tell you. I know it by experience. But when I cry out to God, admitting my weakness, and see, that's what a lot of times what we don't want to do. We don't want to admit our weakness. Say, I am weak. I need you to do it in me. Amen? Okay? Maybe that'll help. So it's through prayer, you see, that will help. Knowing the Word of God. Trusting God's word, prayer, and then also by a conscious decision, though, the same time as we pray, a conscious decision to do right, that you want to do right. You know, a lot of times we pray and ask God for help in an area. Do we in our heart really want that changed? Do we really want to do different? Let me give you 2 Timothy 2. 22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. See, he's not talking about just calling, you know, as we a lot of times blame the Baptist or the Catholic for doing, you know, well, forgive me and I'll go out and do the same thing, you know. Well, we Baptists do the same thing too many times. God says, call unto me out of a pure heart that desires, that wants to do right, that wants things different in your life. Understand? You see, we need to understand that, folks. You are not going to make it. You're not going to not yield to these temptations unless there is some pureness of heart that wants to do right and wants God's help to do right. Amen? And then also, look for God's way of escape. Did you know that God has a way of escape for temptation? I'm going to read to you out of 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 13th verse. God says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Did you know there's an escape hatch on all temptations? Did you know that Cain did not have to kill Abel? Did you know Judas did not have to betray Christ? Did you know that Demas did not have to leave the ministry? There is an escape hatch. God says there is. There is a way to escape. There is a way not to be tempted, not to yield to the temptation. Put it that way. You understand what I'm saying? There is a way. Most time is we don't look for it. We're not interested in seeing it because we really don't want to change that much. Understand? So, face it. You know, realize that they're there, temptations are there, and they're going to be there for the rest of your life. You're going to face them the rest of your life, and you're going to have to deal with them the rest of your life. Learn how to deal with them. Amen? And then ask God, cry out to God for help. You need him, folks. I need him. We need him. Amen?